Thank you, Joanne. I invite you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we dig into God's Word here this morning and continue our series on our core values. If you are a guest here today, just want to take one moment, make sure you know we have these welcome packets. We'd love for you to grab one on your way out, and inside it has a little pamphlet that tells us about our denomination and our church and contact information for me. We'd love to have you grab one of these on your way out to see me, and I'll make sure you get one. As I was preparing the sermon for this week, I was reminded, as we were looking at this, this idea of being one body, that you will not find two brothers who are more different in personality than my brother Ryan and I. There we are with my great-grandparents. That's one of my favorite all-time pictures. If you're not sure, I'm the good-looking one, just so you know, if you don't know which is which. Now, there I am. Ryan's 4 years younger than me. And so we often work together, but, you know, we're very, very different. If you think of me, I am the very stereotypical older brother. All right, now show hands here. How many people are God's chosen ones? You're the oldest child. Anyway, yeah, okay, there you go. Good. Well, I'm very stereotypical older brother. I'm a planner. I like a schedule. I like details. I'm a bit of a worrier and all that idea. Now, my brother Ryan's a stereotypical younger brother. So here we go. How many of you are the happy-go-lucky punk younger children? How many people are there? There you are. All right. He's very much the stereotypical younger brother. Flies by the seat of his pants, sort of goes with the flow, a little happy-go-lucky, and makes decisions on the fly. Now, those are stereotypes, of course. My brother Ryan is actually quite responsible, and I have been known to be carefree and spontaneous from time to time. I put that in my schedule every week, to be spontaneous. I put it in my schedule. Never mind. All right, moving on. But what's really interesting about Ryan and I is that while we are fine on our own, we are really, really better if we work together. We are better when we work together. Our strengths cover each other's weaknesses, and it's because of our differences, not in spite of them, that we do so well. For example, I've mentioned many times now that I'm on the leadership team down there at Roswell Camp Meeting, and in the first week in the evenings, I'm the children's evangelist, so I go up there and do all that. And for a number of years, I sort of did that by myself. I led it by myself. I had some helpers and things like that. But for the past couple of years, my brother Ryan has helped me, and he is invaluable. I would not want to do it again without Ryan. Because when we are at the children's tabernacle, yes, I am large and in charge, doing my thing, raving like a lunatic, all that. But when we go out to the field for rec, oh, that's when Ryan shines. And all I get to do is stand there with my whistle and look mean. I really like that, right? Because he's so much better doing that stuff with the kids than I am. In fact, he is so important to me that the past few years, I have insisted that he be listed as a co-leader on the program because he's so valuable to me. Well, God has granted each one of us gifts, and he expects us to use them, but not as lone rangers. Remember the Lone Ranger? Yeah, that old deal, right? A great TV show. Really lousy idea when it comes to being a church member, right? He wants us, God wants us, I dare say God expects us to use our spiritual gifts together as the body of Christ. And so we're beginning to wrap up our series that we've called our DNA, What Makes Us Us. And if you haven't been with us, we've been looking at our core values, and we have said that just as our biological DNA is what makes us unique as a person, our core values are what makes us unique as a church. And we've looked at the core values of biblical integrity and relationships, worship, and outreach. And now this week, we're going to look at our core value of spiritual gifts. So here's our value statement. Again, it's on the back of your notes there in your bulletin. It says, a commitment to using our gifts and abilities as demonstrated by an awareness, willingness, and a freedom to use our God-given gifts. This is our value statement. A commitment to using our gifts and abilities as demonstrated by an awareness, willingness, and freedom to use our God-given gifts. And so again, I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning
as we take a look at what God's Word has to say about this whole deal. Now, the first question we need to answer there, and you answer it, is, well, what are the spiritual gifts? Well, the first thing I want to do is talk about what they're not. Spiritual gifts are not our natural talents. All right? Now, I cannot say that my spiritual gift is hitting a baseball, right? But that's a natural talent of mine, maybe, but that's not my spiritual gift, right? We can't say, well, my spiritual gift is being able to sing really well. I certainly can't say that. Some of you can, right? But we'd be off the mark there. We can't say, well, my spiritual gift is that I'm really smart. That's not it. See, that's our natural talent. Now, what's the difference? See, our natural talents are given to us at our physical birth, right? You can be good at baseball or golf or sewing or music or whatever before you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, right? Like, so you get that at birth. You were just, God has given you that grace, that gift, that natural talent in something. Our spiritual gifts are given to us at our spiritual birth. When we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and by the way, if you haven't done that, today would be a really great day to put your trust in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. But when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then that's when we get our spiritual gifts. So they're not natural talents. They are also not, and people sometimes get this confused, they're not the fruit of the Spirit. They're not the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, all those wonderful things, they are different than spiritual gifts. The fruit of the Spirit is who we should be. We should be loving. We should be peaceful. We should be self-controlled. Spiritual gifts are what we should be doing. We should be doing these things. Now listen to me, this is very important. Every one of us, as a follower of Jesus Christ, has access to the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. We can all be loving. We can all have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. We can all have all those things. Not everyone gets all of the spiritual gifts. In fact, I'd say that everyone here, there's some spiritual gifts that you just don't have. And that's okay. We're going to talk about that. All right? Everybody has at least one. Everyone has at least one spiritual gift. I'd say most of us have more than one. All right? But they're different from the fruit of the Spirit. And finally, spiritual gifts are not spiritual disciplines. Now, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here because we're going to talk about spiritual disciplines next week as we wrap up our series. But spiritual disciplines, reading our Bible and praying and coming to worship and things like that, that's different than a spiritual gift. And you say, well, what's the difference? Well, here's the deal. Spiritual disciplines help us in our walk with God. They help strengthen our walk with God. Spiritual gifts are given to us to help strengthen other people's walk with God. Am I making sense? And so it's that way. Now, I was going through my sermon notes this morning, and the Holy Spirit took me. He said, hey, knucklehead, you never actually gave a statement as to what a spiritual gift is. So here we go. It's not in your notes, but here we go. If we put all this together, we can say that spiritual gifts are special aptitudes and abilities given to us by God to help carry out the mission of His church. I'm going to say that again. Spiritual gifts are special aptitudes and abilities given to us by God to help carry out the mission of His church. And so, I have in your bulletin insert there, I have all the spiritual gifts that we see in God's Word. All right, now, I know that that's really small and really compact. All right, and so if you're having trouble seeing that, I actually have a larger version of that printed out on the front pew there in the middle, and I can certainly email that to you as well if that's just difficult for you to read. I just had to do all that to be able to get it fit on one insert there. I actually have a six-hour workshop on the spiritual disciplines that I've got right in my back pocket. So the Super Bowl's not until 6:30. What do you all think? Want to go for it? No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. That's why I'm giving you that insert. I want you to take that home, look it over, and start to figure out where exactly are my spiritual gifts. I also want to recommend a resource to you. Now, once again, as always, Word of God's primary. We go there first, but there is this resource called What You Do Best in the Body of Christ. It's written by a man named Bruce Bugbee. There's a name for you, Bruce Bugbee. What You Do Best in the Body of Christ. I believe Bruce does an excellent job, and there's many other resources out there like this one, but I'm recommending this one. I believe Bruce does an excellent, excellent job of breaking down what the different spiritual gifts are. He actually has a survey in there you can take to figure out what yours is and all that kind of good stuff. So I would just recommend that to you. So that is what we're talking about here when we're talking about spiritual gifts. Now, when you look at that insert, you will get down and there's the servant gifts, and there's the leadership gifts, and there's all that. And then there is that section called the sign gifts. And so whenever we get to discussion of spiritual gifts, we sort of got to deal with this issue of, are the sign gifts for today? The sign gifts of speaking in tongues and miraculous healing and all that, where are we at with that? Well, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. We can talk more about this. So let me say here, if you have a different idea on this than I, that's fine. We can talk about that. We can worship here together and all those sort of things. But I do want to let you know where I'm at on this whole deal. Are the sign gifts for today? Well, first of all, I do not see a statute of limitations in God's Word. I do not see anywhere in God's Word where He says, all right, we're done doing all that stuff now. All right? So we need to understand that. I have not spoken in tongues. I would not encourage it in public worship. But in 1 Corinthians 14:39, I know that small, it says, therefore, brothers, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. And so if that's good enough for Paul, well, that's good enough for me. All right, so I would not forbid it. But Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 31, eagerly desire the greater gifts. See, Paul recognizes that this was a gift, but he also recognizes of all the gifts, well, it's one at the bottom as far as its value to the church. And so we're to eagerly desire the greater gifts. And then in 14:12, he says, since you are eager to have the spiritual gifts, try to excel in the gifts that do what? That build up the church. See, the sign gifts, speaking in tongues, miraculous healing, working wonders, things like that, those are meant to bring people to Christ. Those are meant in those connections. And I have heard stories, perhaps you have as well, of missionaries who've been out in the field with an unreached people group, and all of a sudden they start talking, and everyone there understands what they're saying. They don't know how it happens. And so I'm not going to put God in a box and say, God cannot work that way today. Am I making sense? All right. But I also need to recognize that those things really aren't for the church service. And here's why. We have all we need to know to understand who Jesus is and for our salvation. Am I making sense? We have the Word of God. And so we really don't have a need to have all those other things happening in our church services. And there's, and we get into this later on if you want to talk about this more, but there's verses that sort of give us guidance on how all these sign gifts are supposed to be used and things like that. The other thing I will say here, I think we need to recognize this, is that there is a preponderance out there of what are called faith healers and other who claims to have a special or abundant gift. And those folks, they give me great, great pause. Great, great pause. Whenever that experience is claimed. Paul instructed the believers that to pursue the greater gifts, and he consistently taught that speaking in tongues were of no value in public worship and to believers in general. And in my personal experience, and again, this is Scott talking, all right? So we all understand that. This is Scott talking. There are many, I won't say everyone, but there were many who engage in the sign gifts, and they inevitably believe that you need to have those sign gifts in order to be in heaven someday. And that is a premise I reject wholeheartedly. Because there's no basis of it in Scripture. Friends, listen to me. If anyone tells you anything different, we've got an issue. Our salvation is by grace of the grace of God alone, by faith in Jesus Christ alone. That's it. If anyone tells you that salvation is Jesus plus, you need to take a step back and say, now hold on a second here. Because that's not what God's Word says. Are you all with me this morning? All right? So that's where we're at. Again, if you have a different view on those sort of things, we can be free to worship together and we can talk about that. But I didn't want you to sort of know where I'm at on that. But that's not our focus for today. Believe it or not, I haven't even started preaching yet. Here we go. Our focus for today is how we can use our gifts as one body to further the name of Christ. Let's dig into it here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to begin with verse 12 here. It says, the body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts, or though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. We are all part of one body. So why should we value the spiritual gifts? Why should we even have this as one of our core values as a church? I have to say, we are somewhat unique in that you don't often see spiritual gifts among a church's core values. So why do we value that? Well, as we go through our passage, I see three different things that I sort of pull out to say this is why we value that. And the first one is this. Using our God-given spiritual gifts is the responsibility of every believer. Using our God-given spiritual gifts is the responsibility of every believer. We are all part of the body of Christ. He is the head, and we are all connected to Him. And with that comes a responsibility within the life of the church. We are to do more than to be pew toads and come here on Sunday mornings and croak for an hour and a half. We're supposed to do more than that. We are supposed to do more than just come, punch our spiritual time card, say, I did God this week, and think that we're good. It's to be much, much more than that. My friends, listen to me. There is a cost to a life with Christ. There's a cost there. Now, you might be saying, now, hold on a second here. Now, you just said salvation is free. Oh, it absolutely is. Salvation is a free gift of God for those who trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But once we become saved, once we have our salvation, well, now, see, God's got some work for us to do. See, we can't just say, okay, I'm good, and I'm just going to wait it out until Christ calls me home. See, no, that's not how it works. There are things that God calls for us to do. There is a cost to following Jesus on this side of eternity. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. This is so important. We use our gifts not so that we can get into heaven. You with me? That's not our purpose. You see, this gets all mixed up by people sometimes. They think, well, man, we need to use our gifts. That way we earn our way to heaven. Oh, no, 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 no. By grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. That's how we get into heaven. We use our gifts out of gratitude that we have to Jesus Christ for the fact that He saw fit to save a sinner like you and me. Am I making sense? And so we need to understand that as well. There are certain things that God expects from all of us. He expects us to engage in prayer. He expects us to worship. He expects us to serve and to do evangelism. But there are also things that God has uniquely gifted each one of us to do that He hasn't gifted all of us to do. And it is our responsibility then to use our gifts. Let's continue on here, verse 15. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And the ear should say, and if an ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Second reason why I believe we should value spiritual gifts is because the body suffers when we don't use them. The church body suffers when you don't use them. God has given you a gift for a reason, and He calls on you to use them. Now, I've said this before. Many churches are filled with 100% willing members. 20% of the people are willing to do the work, and 80% are willing to let them. Right? And the body suffers when we all don't use our gifts. Now, when can the body suffer? Well, first of all, the body suffers when church members won't do their part because they can't do someone else's part. What I mean by that, someone might say, you know what, I have the gift, I have the caring gifts, but I'm not going to use them because I'd really like to sing, and I don't have an opportunity to sing, so I'm just not going to do anything. See, that happens in churches today. People get, oh, if I can't do that, I'm not doing anything. Even when that thing they want to do might not be their gifting. Am I making sense? See, the body suffers when that happens. The foot can't just jealously decide that because it's not a hand, it's not part of the body. Neither can the ear check out because it's not an eye. Friends, listen to me. God didn't just throw our physical bodies together haphazardly. Our physical bodies are a miraculous work. If you have ever studied the intricacy, the design of our bodies, and see how everything works together. And some of you, you're there, and things aren't working so well right now. You know how miraculous it can be when our physical bodies just work the way they're designed. We are marvelously made. God has given gifts to the body in the same way. Do you realize He didn't just throw this group of people together and say, all right, let's see what happens there. No, no, we are intricately and wonderfully made as a body of Christ. Everybody has a job to do. Now listen to me, have you ever thought about this? God has you here at Ebenezer Church in Brownstown, Pennsylvania for a reason. For a reason. And that reason isn't so you can be a spectator. He has something for you to do. Because if He didn't have something for you to do here, He'd have you somewhere else. That's just the reality of it. And when we don't use our gifts for whatever reason, well, the body suffers. Now, I need to be honest here. Let's be honest. Sometimes the body suffers because someone is using their gift and they don't want anyone else using theirs. Right? Let's be real. That happens in churches too. Right? It's like, oh, okay, well, I'm the only one that can lead the singing, or I'm the only one that can serve here. I'm the only one that can do this because I'm awesome. See, churches suffer that way too when people have that attitude. And we need to recognize that. So churches suffer when those things happen. Churches also suffer when all of God's gifts aren't valued and honored. They also suffer when all of God's gifts aren't valued and honored. Look at verse 21. It says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are what? Are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it. Let's stop right there. One of the big issues that we see throughout Paul's two letters to the church in Corinth is that some people were feeling superior because they saw their gifts as being more important than other people's. And what he's doing here is reminding them all the gifts are necessary for the body to operate the way He's designed, and then for it to be healthy. And in our context here, one might look at what happens on a Sunday morning worship service and think, well, I can't preach, I can't teach, I can't sing, I don't have anything to offer. Right? Or they might look and say, I can teach, I can preach, I can sing, I'm more important than everybody else. Again, either way, it's stinking thinking. It's stinking thinking. Right? We can't compare ourselves to others. And we can't compare others to others. We can't say, why can't you be more like her? Boy, I really like it when this person does it instead of that person. Gang, if they're using their gift, we need to honor that. Am I making sense? We need to honor that. Now, look what he says here. Now we're not going to get too graphic here, but we got to point this out. He's reminding the church that those whose gifts are more behind the scenes must be honored for their service. And to be just really frank, I think in our church, capital C, big idea, we do a really lousy job of that. We do a really lousy job of honoring people whose gifts are more behind the scene. And he points out that there are parts of our body that we cover up. Again, I don't want to be rude or crude here, but that's just real. There's parts of our body in public we cover up, right? They're pretty valuable parts, though, right? Wait, we won't want to lose them, would we? Am I making sense? Again, I'm not trying to be rude or crude here. This is what Paul's saying. And he's saying we actually honor them by covering them up because we recognize how valuable they are. And in the same way, we ought to value all of the gifts, not just the upfront one or the public one. Now, I'm just like an illustration here. In a little bit, I'm going to go stand by that door, many of you are going to come out and shake my hand, and we're going to greet each other, and that's all well and good. All right, because I'm the guy up front here doing this whole deal, Randall Reagan. But what would it look like? Think about this. What would it look like if we lined up everybody who used their gift this morning, and we had to go through that handshake line? Ooh, we'd be here a lot longer, wouldn't we? Right? What if we lined up. Lloyd and Deb back there making sure all our tech works, or the ushers, the greeters, the offering counters, the nursery workers, the Sunday school teachers, those who are serving during the week, the ones who clean the church this week, or fix the light bulbs during the summertime, mow the lawn. What if we lined all them up and honored them? Boy, it'd look a little different, would it? And we need to do a better job of that, because their gifting is just as important as the upfront gifts. My role here is a very public role. I got that, right? And God has gifted me in some ways, and I'm thankful for that. But that doesn't mean that my gifts are more important than your gifts. It's just my role's different. Am I making sense? And so we need to understand that. Again, this is just the reality of it. As public as my role is, if you all didn't do the things you do, I'd be preaching in empty pews on a Sunday morning. Now, I'm actually okay with that. I do it during the week. It'll be all right. Now, my family would be here rolling their eyes at me. But other than that, right, there'd be no reason to come here. Am I making sense? And so we need to value all the gifts. Yes, your gifts may be different than mine. Your role may be not as public as mine, but that doesn't mean that your gifts aren't needed here. And so finally then, let's look at verse 25. It says, so there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you has a part in it. Why do we need to value spiritual gifts? It's because we are designed to take care of one another and are called to do so. It is designed that way. God has constructed our physical bodies in such a way that, physically speaking, we all have strength and weaknesses. Just real silly examples. When it comes to arm strength, I am like really puny. I can't lift a whole lot with my arms, but I got the legs of a honking ox. Like, you didn't even know oxes could honk, could you? But they get. I mean, if there's something and I can get my legs behind it, that thing is moving. I'm really strong. Many of you know, I'm completely colorblind. In fact, this morning, my wife and I had to have a discussion in the hallway because I couldn't figure out what outfit all lined up, and she has said, no, she had to reassure me, oh, Scott, you look okay. See, some of you, y'all really care about what I wear on a Sunday morning. It kind of wigs me out, to be honest with you. But anyway, y'all come and say, man, I really like that tie, I really like that goes with that shirt. You shouldn't be saying to me, I guarantee you I had nothing to do with it, right? My wife dresses me just about every morning. But I'm weak in that area. But let me tell you something, I can see like an eagle. I mean, I have really good eyesight. My hearing is unbelievable. Right? And God's designed all of you in that way as well. That physically speaking, there are some areas that you're weaker, but there are some areas that you're stronger. And He has constructed the body of believers in the exact same way. Where some are weak, others are strong. And I just want to say this here. You know what? Some of us have physical bodies where all the parts don't quite work the way they're supposed to. Some of us have physical bodies where some of the parts have stopped working the way they're supposed to used to. Right? Listen to me. That doesn't mean that you aren't valuable to God. Am I making sense? We need to understand this. You are valuable to God. It also doesn't mean that He doesn't have work for you to do. Despite whatever physical limitations we may be going through. It does mean, and this is a tough truth, it does mean that you may be an opportunity for somebody else to use their gift. Now, we don't like that, do we? We'd much rather be the one using our gifts than the one being on the receiving end of someone else's gift. But we need to understand that. We need to understand. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to try not to cry. My dear great-grandmother, I had a picture up there. When she was about 90, 92, her health really started to decline. And she kept saying, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why I'm here. I just want to go home and be a pap. And the only thing I can think of as to why she was still here is, number one, she was a prayer warrior for her family. And number two, my great-grandmother took care of her entire extended family for 80-some years. And I think at the end, God just decided it was time for us to learn about what it means to care for somebody else. Am I making sense? And so we need to understand that. We're designed to take care of one another, and we're called to do so. When the body of believers is working together the way God has intended, everyone is cared for physically, spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, all those sort of things. And so we need to discern what our gifts are, what our strengths are, because I guarantee you, someone here needs you. And they're going to suffer if you don't use your gift. And what does the scripture say? When one of us is suffering, we are all suffering. Now, believe it or not, I am not trying to make anybody feel guilty this morning. I'm just trying to tell you what the Word of God says. Now, I want to show hands here. Now, I want you to actually raise your hand, all right? None of this like little stuff like that. I want your hand in the air. How many of you are really glad that someone else here shared their gift in your life? How many people want to put their hand? You are really glad. Now, I want you to turn around. I want you to look at all the hands. Look at all the hands. You are needed here because God has gifted you in some way. So what? So what? So what if we don't value and use our spiritual gifts? Let's face it, there's churches all over that really don't. There's churches all over that consolidate all the work into a few people because they're not willing to let other people share in the work. Right? There's churches all over that really don't value the behind-the-scenes gifts and don't bring honor to them. So what if we just leave here today saying, life, nice message, Scott told some fun stories and all that, but you know what? That's not for me. Gang, listen to me. If we don't value and use our spiritual gifts, number one, we can't expect God's blessing on our ministries. We just can't expect it. We can't not use our spiritual gifts and then wonder why in the world isn't God blessing our work here. Like, that makes no sense. We can't do that. We also can't expect to have a vibrant, healthy, and fully functioning church. And it's amazing how many churches that's what happens. We're just a few people who are doing all the work, and everyone's wondering, hey, why aren't things working out the way they're supposed to? Well, we can expect it, and this isn't good news, but we can expect that the body will suffer and that it will not grow if we don't value and use our spiritual gifts. So my challenge for us this morning is twofold, as it often is. Number one, do I love Jesus enough and do I care enough about others that I have an unquenchable desire to serve and use my gifts? That's a mouthful. Do I love Jesus enough and do I care enough about others that I have an unquenchable desire to serve and use my gifts? I believe each one of us, including me, needs to ask ourselves that question this morning. And then the second challenge is for us as a church family. Do we at Ebenezer really have a commitment to using our gifts and abilities as demonstrated by an awareness, a willingness, and what? A freedom to use our God-given gifts. God's word is clear. We are all part of one body. And we need everybody working and doing the job that God has called us to, using the gifts that God has given us so that the entire body can thrive and so that we can go about doing the work of building His kingdom on this side of eternity. In ministry, in marriage, at work, at home, at school, in life, we are better when we work together. I want to close with an old African proverb that I've always liked. It goes like this. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. Let's go far as a church, and we do so by going together. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for today. Thank you.